Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. Apologies for the delay on this one. The start of this week was a little funky and weird. I was feeling kind of sick over the weekend, and then I just ignored it going into the week, and then I guess I thought I was fine Tuesday night, and then I never really could quite fully go to sleep. So I stayed up all the way through Wednesday night, through into Wednesday morning, and then just stayed up Wednesday all day long. And then around 9 o'clock, I'm like, bedtime. So I finally went back and laid down and go to sleep and slept for about, 9.5 hours. So the podcast was not making it yesterday, but I'm back. I hope you guys have had a great week so far. We got a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. First of all, again, as always, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for your support, sharing, posting it to social media, telling a friend about it. All that stuff absolutely does help. It does make a difference, and I'm seeing it slowly. I actually got a shirt, like I said the other day, for my birthday. It says, ask me about my podcast, and I was wearing it outside doing errands, and I never really expected it to actually kick off, but then somebody actually did ask me about the podcast. So I got a chance to talk to them about it too. Business cards are hopefully going to be ready to go before the end of next week. So I'll be able to take them to conventions, to just, you know, local businesses or whatever, what have you. And hopefully you guys will, if you see me around, you'll get one of those too. And then also, yeah, back to Twitch. That one's also took a bit of a hit. The feeling ill and everything like that just took a lot of energy out of me. I don't know what's going on. I hadn't really been keeping up with, you know, being as active as I wanted to be. Part of it is because it can be incredibly dangerously hot out here. And if you're not in great physical shape, being out in the sun can be taxing enough for people who are very physically fit. So if you're not in great physical shape, it can be even more so. And I would say that I'm not in great physical shape. I definitely need to work out more, which is true for most of us, I guess. But especially with not feeling well, most I was doing was trying to make sure I got out in the morning and sat in the sun, even just to get a little bit of extra natural, you know, sunlight onto my skin. But it was a lot. And as you can hear, the week is still taking a bit of a toll on me. So I'm running a little slow, a little low on energy, but I'm going to try to make it work for you. But yeah, I'll be back on Twitch again. Today is going to be Thursday, hopefully, when this uploads and you guys hear this. So it'll be Friday, August 23rd, 2024. And I'm going to try to go back through some more Destiny, some Baldur's Gate. And there's a couple other games that have popped up recently that I've been excited about and been checking out. So I'll talk about those here too. But yeah, let's get into it. Thank you again for listening to that part. I know it's a pain, but we're back. We're doing it. We are coming close to the end of August, going into September. And it's around this time that, like, you could see a bunch of the don't give a fuck itis just kind of crossing over people. Like, they know the holidays are going to be right around the corner, or some of the kids have gone back to school. And then all this other jazz is happening. I mean, they're going to be one right after the other, after the other, after the other, all the way to the end of the year. And I think that it just seems like maybe holidays come faster. You've always got like, there's a certain camp of people who hate the holidays, for whatever reasons, you know what I mean? Could be bad memories of a relationship or familial catastrophe. Could just be, holidays weren't a very well-celebrated time around their homes. Then you got those people who are way too excited about the holidays. Like the one lady I saw on a Dateline program, I think, or whatever. But she literally has her home decorated for Christmas 365, 24/7. That would have been way too much for me. And I like to think I fall at least somewhere in the middle, where I do like holidays to a certain extent. I'm not as crazy about holidays as I probably was when I was a kid, obviously. But even into my 20s, I kind of just was like, holidays are cool and all, but I'd rather not do with all the pageantry and decoration and cooking and blah, 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 blah. And just have like a, I would take all that away for an extra like one day to chill and or recover from the holiday. You know what I mean? It feels like they happen so fast. And obviously with, you know, marketing and corporations being involved in every facet of our lives, it seems, you know, it got to get the jump on when the next holiday is going to be. So, I mean, people are already putting out Halloween decorations here. It's not even September. And I get being excited for your favorite holiday. I totally understand that. And I respect it. But calm the fuck down. At least, I mean, you have an entire month for Halloween. Literally, you have an entire month to prepare for Halloween because it's the last holiday of that year. It's the last day of that year, month, I mean. So why you feel like you need to have it started in June or July is just a little bit egregious, in my personal opinion. It's the same thing with people who are like already running Christmas songs in like October. Slow down, dude. Like, give us at least until like after Thanksgiving to really kick it up a notch. Because again, you've got the entire month of December. You know, you've got the entire month to get prepped up and jazzed up for it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be. I think you absolutely should. For the longest time, and still to this day, honestly, Christmas is one of my favorite holidays of the year, mainly because it's cold, most of the time. It hasn't been the case since I moved to Florida, except for like once, but most of the time it's cold during December in Florida, or at least cooler than what it usually is. So I like Christmas for that reason more than anything else, because I always loved snow. You know, I always loved being outdoors, and that was the perfect time, because for somebody who runs really hot, being able to run around outside in the cold is perfect. And Florida cold is great because generally speaking, when it says they're saying it's cold outside, that means it's usually going to be between 45 and 60 degrees, somewhere in that temperature range. Just absolutely wonderful to be outside in. You can do a lot of stuff without getting overheated. You can wear yourself a jacket and a cap, and you're just perfectly fine with a pair of jeans. And then also, when the weather starts to cool down, the sun's not super bright. If you're in a place where you're fortunate enough to watch the leaves turn colors and fall off the trees, then you get yourself a cup of soup or a hot drink, watch some movies, curl up with a good book, just chill out and vape. Vape too. Sure. Why not? I love that. It's comfy, cozy weather. And I like that. I don't like hot. Like, get the fuck off me, get away from me, leave me alone. Hot is miserable. But it's hard to be miserable when you got your toes like warmed up by a blanket and you got a cup of, hot mulled cider or hot cocoa or something like that in your hand and just good movie on TV. It's hard to be upset with people during that moment. I just feel like the holidays come faster and faster. And it's not just the aging and the passing of time. I feel like it usually starts getting promoted and talked about sooner and sooner and earlier every year. And, on the one hand, like, I do get annoyed with it because it's like, dude, settle down. It kind of takes some of the special quality away from it, because it's that one time of the year. Then I look around at life and I'm like, man, this is wall-to-wall shit, isn't it? fuck it. Let them have it. I would just say this, celebrate it during your month. You know what I mean? Right up to that day, give it the 30 days before then and keep it there. This way the rest of us don't get burned out on you being overbearing, and you don't get burned out on us for being overbearing. I think we could agree on that. If I could sign that into law, I would. Like, you're not allowed to put up Halloween decorations before 12:01 on October 1st. You know what I mean? And if you post about it on social media, you have only 2 weeks before the 1st of October when you can start. If you start any sooner than 2 weeks before the 1st of October, we get to break one finger for every 2 days you post earlier. That sounds fair. Same thing with any other holiday too. People are like, oh, I'm so excited for Thanksgiving. That was 2 days before the deadline. Come on, you know what you got to do? Hand that digit over. Snap one. And the reason I say that is not to be mean, but we'll find out how much you really love Halloween that early. You know what I mean? You'll find out who loves that holiday that much. Hey, man, every year, one whole hand worth of fingers just don't work. I think he's actually starting to think about maybe, you know, taking it down a notch this year. Only gets two finger breaks, but John just can't stop talking about Christmas, man. Just can't help himself. But yeah, I know it sounds like I'm being curmudgeonly, but it is kind of frustrating. It is a little annoying, although I do get it. You know, people need their joy. This is where I get mine, so I guess it's fine. Yeah, speaking of getting your joy where you can, goodness. Thankfully, there's been some gaming stuff this year. Gamescom is currently kicking out and about. And it's one of the conventions for gaming that I've always wanted to go to. There's almost no way I could go unless I was either already vacationing overseas in Europe during the week that it happened, or unless I get a job with a game company and they send me. There's no way I can afford to fly all the way out to Europe just for one show. It'd have to be for a real damn good reason. But there's some interesting stuff coming out of Gamescom currently. I got to see a little bit of the Xbox presser this morning, and I've been kind of watching some of the footage over the course of the day. Some interesting things, like I said, for Xbox. People are making a lot of noise about the first-party titles coming out of Xbox. I'm not really too blown away. A lot of people I know were super excited for Diablo 4 when it first launched, and then a lot of people I knew who paid for it are probably really pissed the fuck off that it ended up being on Game Pass for $3.99 just a few months later. And now Diablo's got a new expansion coming out, so I'm sure people are going to be happy about that for a couple of days. But there's a couple things that I was really stoked about. Now, this first thing I didn't hear about on Gamescom, I actually heard about it when I was going to start my stream the other day. And it is that Genshin Impact, the popular gacha game that's been on mobile and PC forever, is finally making its way to the Xbox in October, it looks like. October, November. So yeah, it's on the way. Which means that we'll be seeing it, I believe it's November 19th. We'll be seeing it in just a couple of months here. And I was actually really excited to play Genshin Impact. I was going to get it on my phone, but the issue with trying to stream stuff from my mobile to my PC or to my laptop is a pain because my PC laptop, God, I keep saying that. My laptop is very old and doesn't cooperate very well sometimes with those kinds of things. And definitely not playing the game off my PC laptop mother is out of question. But being that it'll be on Xbox, as you know, using the laptop as a pass through, I got it right that time. Using the laptop as a pass through probably wouldn't be so much of an issue. But I've been really waiting for it to show up on Nintendo Switch, and I feel like Genshin Impact is the kind of game, especially because of the appeal of it. And being that it started out as like a portable game anyway, like a mobile game, like it's a perfect fit for the Nintendo Switch, and they just seem to not want to do it. And people are like, oh, well, it's, you know, this, that, and the other about the power of the Switch. No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that bullshit for a second. Because if you can play Fortnite and you can play, you know, Doom Eternal, and you can play the Outer Worlds or whatever, you can play those games on Nintendo Switch. You can absolutely put, you know, an anime cel-shaded game on the Nintendo Switch. There's really no excuse. And I mean, I can't think of anything that makes any sense at all. Whatever they've been saying for like the last 4 years makes no sense at all. Particularly because there are so many other anime styled games and games with a similar look and feel to Genshin Impact and Honkai Star Rail, whatever. Those games could absolutely exist on the Switch, and they just won't. But I'll get it on Xbox, so that's fine. I'm going to deal with it. It's going to be dope. There's a couple other games that were popping up. One called Redacted, which looked really, really good. I don't pre-order shit as a rule, and I'm not pre-ordering this either, but it will be going on my wish list. It's kind of a third... how do we put this? It's an almost top-down isometric-style shooter where you are trying to escape this... I think it's like a space prison, and you're one of the guards in the prison, and you're trying to get to the last few escape pods. On your way out, all the inmates that are kind of breaking loose are actively trying to stop you, but you're also actively trying to stop them too. So there are environmental hazards that you can create to slow down their progress as they attempt to catch the escape pod and get out. Yeah, it's got an interesting look and feel. It's very similar to the Nintendo, I want to say it was Nintendo, was it GameCube? I believe it was GameCube or Wii game Mad World. High contrast, high relief, bright colors. I really can't describe the graphical style any better than that. But it does have that kind of space punk atmospheric kind of look, you know. Dark corners, gritty sci-fi environments, wild enemy design. It looks really interesting. And knowing that you can use certain currencies to level up skills or armor or weapons along the way, or even to throw obstacles in the way of the rivals, as they call them, on your way to the escape pods is pretty cool little convention I thought was interesting. There's another game that's coming out into closed beta soon, actually, called Fragpunk. And it's a, I believe, a 6v6 first-person shooter game with card-based power-ups that you find in the world. And by crushing the cards, you can add power-ups, you can add weapon damage, certain skill unlocks. Some of the cards synergize with one another, and the effects can stack or multiply one another or even mitigate certain certain debuffs. It's a very interesting idea and a cool take on the first-person shooter combat, like competitive combat shooter kind of thing. And I'm interested to try it. So I've applied for the open, for the closed beta. Hopefully I'll get into that. Outside of that, I couldn't really talk about it because I don't know anything else about it. But if you've heard about it, keep your eye out for Fragpunk. Sounds like it'd be a really fun game to check out. There's plenty of other stuff that's popping up along the line here at Gamescom just over the weekend, so I'll be looking at that as well. And hopefully at some point this weekend, I will go and see Deadpool and Wolverine and or Borderlands. I got to get over to see these movies before it gets too much later in the year. I really meant to go for my birthday this year to at least see one of them. So far has not happened yet, and money is super tight right now, so I'm trying not to spend out a lot, but I may have to go ahead and just bite the bullet for this one and do that just to get out of the house and see some cool movie. So we'll see. I've got a line of topics. I'm just trying to think about where to go with it. I don't know, that's a really weird thing, man. Just low motivation lately. I know part of it is just not being well. That didn't help. Being sick and being tired never help anybody when it comes to, you know, their overall energy output. But this being tired, like dragged down tired, was just, it's just a lot. And I'm not used to having so little energy. But then again, I'm just going to make sure I take my medication for my stomach to make sure I'm doing great there. I have been drinking the Rise coffee. That does help on the days when I remember to do it. Just because I'm not really huge on coffee in the first place. So that's been good. Taking multivitamins, trying to eat more green vegetables and, you know, leafy greens, and different types of fruits and stuff, and adding those into the diet is helping too. But it's just a slow process because I let myself burn out so long. But we're working on it. We're going to get there. But I think it's also just like when that happens, you just have so little motivation to do anything. You got to do the things, but you just feel like I want to just crawl back into bed and go to sleep for another 3 days. And maybe over the weekend, that'll be what I'll do. Maybe I will just take like an actual weekend and be like, I'm not doing anything. You know, I don't know what I have to do to get that done. Like I said, I was going to do it for my birthday and just disappear for a weekend. Just so I can have some time for myself to just sit and think and process. I never do that. I never go on vacations. I never go out and just do something just for the sake of me doing it to have fun or just to get out. So everybody needs a little bit of time to themselves. Even if you're around other people, but you need some time away from your normal day-to-day routine to kind of like unplug and get some perspective on it and bring your life back into focus. I haven't really ever done that. and I could feel it slowly starting to burn away a hole in my, you know, my mental well-being. So I'm trying to make sure I take little vacations whenever I can. And then, and trust me, it's not like my wife is like, my life is like wall-to-wall busyness or whatever. But it's just like the consistency of keeping up with this and looking after that, making sure this gets done and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All the way on down the line, and then you get to the end of the day, and you're like, I just want to chill and do whatever it is I want to do, and then you're like, I'm too tired, I gotta just go to bed. That's a pain in the butt. So, trying to find a way to shift that around so I put more energy back into streaming and doing art, because none of it has felt like worthwhile at all. I picked up a pencil the other day and just stared at the page for about half an hour until I started falling asleep sitting up. I just couldn't think of anything that moved me. This sad and scary place for somebody who's a creative person to feel like their brain drain out and their passion and their desire to create and to do anything fun and creative is just being drained out of them. It eats your soul up, because you know that's what you want to do. You know that's what you're here for. And then you just feel like, yeah, there's no purpose. What's the fucking point? You know, I've been feeling like that a lot, especially lately. So that's why I haven't been drawing. I wanted to all through July, and just it's gotten worse and worse over the last month or so. The point where like I almost threw away a bunch of art supplies just to get them out of my face so I didn't have to look at them. That's how bad it was getting. I was just like, I'm going to throw all this shit away, because if I'm not going to use it, I should at least, or donate it or something. I just didn't want to see it anymore. I was like, at least I don't look at it anymore. I won't feel convicted about not drawing, and then I won't feel convicted about why I haven't created this. And fuck it, if I'd rather just quit everything and give up on all of it. And that's a dark place to go to. So I'm trying to find ways to rejuvenate that spark and that joy for creativity and, you know, that energy and that desire to want to do stuff. But I'm not gonna lie, it's tough. So if you've got any suggestions, again, pop on over to the Patreon if you'd like. That would be awesome. At patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Just a comment or a word of encouragement or maybe a thought on how to get that creative spark reignited would be great. Thinking about like how people do it though, you know what I mean? And how people keep up, you know, all the energy and the craziness and whatnot. Like, how do you pull it off? I don't know. I do not know. I have been noticing some wild stuff though, just in social media, news and whatever. You guys remember we talked about the fact that the Democratic National Convention was kicking off this week, and the first few days have been because they're evening events that I usually end up getting to see. And on the one hand, I'm really excited for the groundswell of energy and excitement, enthusiasm surrounding the Harris and Walz campaign. But the more I was watching it, the more I started to feel like this host that I heard today on CNN doing a panel. And let me pause so I can find his name, because he made a really good point. A couple of them did, actually. I found his name, Scott Jennings. So, yeah, I was listening to him talk. And, you know, I mean, to an extent, you can kind of see where a lot of news media outlets' individual biases lie, just based on the way that they speak about certain events or people. And Scott Jennings is notably... been a Republican commentator and leans a little bit more right than center. But he made an excellent point. And I mean, during all of the, you know, parading and pageantry and the preening that I saw during the Democratic National Convention, there was one thing that I noticed that was decidedly not highlighted enough for my personal tastes. And it was interesting that Scott Jennings pointed it out. He said that there's not really been much of a discussion on what are you actually going to do. There's a lot of promises being made. There's a lot of rhetoric being thrown around. And all that's well and good to gain, you know, a little bit of energy and excitement behind a ticket that was, one, largely unexpected, and two, half of which was almost completely unbeknownst to the majority of the Democratic electorate. Before actually being called up to the ranks of, you know, potential vice president. But what are your actual stances on policy? What are the substantive and quantifiable changes in policy that you intend to enact that will help achieve said goal A, B, and C? right? So there's lots of talk about bringing down the prices of, you know, groceries and other consumable goods, bringing down the price of gasoline, which, you know, good Lord, good luck with that, right? I mean, capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month for seniors is a wonderful thing. That's an absolutely incredible thing. But then when you talk about other prescription drug issues and also sweeping reforms to Medicare and Medicaid and, you know, healthcare costs being brought down and brought under control, there's a couple other policy things like reinforcing the security at the border with a clear, a clear path to citizenship for people who decide to come and immigrate to the United States. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does that entail? How are you supposed to put that into action? What are you going to actually do? Does this require executive orders? Does it require signing things into, you know, codifying things into the actual letter of the law, like into the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, making new amendments and whatnot? Does it require acts of Congress to make some of this stuff happen? How do you plan on pushing this shit forward? And there's not enough talk about that, but there's lots of talk about how cool Kamala Harris was and how everybody who met with her instantly clicked. I heard that so many times too. It started to feel like it was written that way. You know, we instantly clicked. We immediately got along. And I'm like, you know, we are kind of falling into a cult of personality thing here too on the Democratic side, where you were judging the Republicans for doing this shit so much. You know, everybody saying it's a pleasure to serve at your side, dear president. Kiss the ring for Trump. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, all right, so you're doing the same thing right now. And I get it. Like, I get it. You got to kind of like, you got to gas people up so they go to the polls and vote, but you got to also give them something worth voting for, which means you got to have a little bit of sizzle and, you know, a little bit of steak behind the sizzle. And there doesn't seem to be enough of that. And I'm not mad about like the energy. I am worried though, that when Republicans start pulling talking points that I can clearly see, that means that there's going to be other people who can clearly see it too. Because while I may not necessarily be the smartest man in any given room, I'm far from the dumbest. So that means that at least a few people are going to look around and go like, hey, you talked a really good game. So what are we going to do now? I think that's going to be an issue going forward. If they're not careful, they could fuck around and end up finding themselves in a very tight spot going like, yeah, we promised all this shit, but we really got it all though. And I'm like, well, you're not going to impress a lot of people with that if you don't have anything better. Than just, yeah, we're going to do it. How? With hard work, lots of work. Okay, what the fuck does that mean? What does that end up looking like really for people, you know? So I don't know. I'm glad for, you know, I'm glad for the energy, not glad for the messaging. And I was also kind of, I felt like Tim Walz kind of got a little bit of the shit into the stick. When the people say that, like, you know, vice presidential candidate doesn't necessarily have a calculable impact on an election one way or another. I think that kind of ignoring a mostly unknown running mate will definitely have an impact. When they start looking and go like, well, why y'all brought this dude up here, but then how come nobody really wants to talk about the cat? Like, they barely mention him. He's just kind of sitting here in the background most of the time. Why is he even here then? Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want to put that much scrutiny on your running mate. So I don't know. I guess I'm curious to see how that's going to shake out. If you got any ideas or opinions or whatever, again, always patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Leave me a message there. I was actually thinking about some other stuff too when it came to you know, just not politics, but like infrastructure and public perception about stuff, right? So and this kind of rolls into another thing, and I'll hit a couple points on the way out the door here today. I was filling out these applications essentially for, like I mentioned, the game betas I wanted to play. Thankfully, because of the particular program I'm associated with, as an Xbox insider, every now and again I'll get wind of something and I'll be able to just go ahead, run in there, click a button, doom, I'm done. they've already stored like all of my info for, you know, whatever betas or other rewards programs or whatever they want to run. So I just kind of got to go push button and here we are. So I did that. And then they asked me to fill out what's called a sustainability survey. And this is an interesting thing too, because Microsoft, as far as the console manufacturers are concerned, has been the one so far that has been attempting to kind of push more green initiatives when it comes to their console and peripheral manufacturing. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, obviously it's the thing you should be doing. I think it's kind of more disturbing that it has only taken, you know, the recent uptick in climate, you know, global climate numbers to scare people into doing the right thing. But they're asking all these different questions about, you know, what would it take for me to use sustainability features or to pay attention to them? And, you know, I've got my opinions just like everybody else has theirs. But what I'm reading about it, one of the things was measuring how much your playtime or your interactivity with a certain game that might run like at different performance standards in order to conserve energy. How much doing something like that would estimate your carbon footprint. I'm like, my carbon footprint? My carbon footprint is about as big as it is whenever I drive around to go do groceries. I'm not the one who dumped chemicals into the air and into the oceans. You know what I mean? I'm not the one that's strip mining the land for resources to build useless cars that nobody can afford to buy and homes that sit empty so that corporations can charge 2 to 3 times the actual real rental rates for them to put people into them. That's not me. Why am I now suddenly being held over a barrel for climate change that I have very little to no impact on as a human being at all? You know what I mean? Like, for the majority of my life, I never drove. Either it was always carpooling with somebody or we did mass transit. So that's eliminating a huge chunk of a carbon footprint right there, because everybody takes a little piece of that with them because we're all sharing to use this public service. So not really a whole lot of that shit there either. I'm also largely been single my whole life. So it's not like I was, you know, had like a whole family full of kids and, you know, all this other stuff, running a lot of electricity, a lot of pets, you know, sleepovers and all that jet. No, I've been a single dude for the majority of my adult life. So not really making a huge impact there. But I know that a lot of these companies are creating plastics and, you know, using manufacturing to, you know, greenhouse gas emissions, all that jazz, all that stuff is them, not me. So why are you putting the bag on my, what are you putting the bag on me for? You know what I mean? You carry that weight. That's not mine. It's really an ugly thing that people try to tell you too. They're like, oh, we got to make sure you measure your carbon footprint. Yeah, when the fuck was that my problem to fix? What do you think you're really accomplishing here? And you're not going to guilt trip me because I'm not a stupid person. So I'm not going to sit here and go like, you know what, you're right. I know that when I go and put my recycling in the bins, I know that most of that shit doesn't make it to any kind of recycling plant whatsoever. I've seen what they do with the shit. They throw it all into one big-ass grinder, and then they grind the stuff up, and a lot of times they end up packing it with some other bullshit turn it into chunks, and then it ends up coating the sidewalks, coating the sides of your roads, your public highways. You ever look out and you see that orange mulch-looking shit out there? Yeah, that's not all wood chips, dog. Are you seeing some place where it's like looks like black sand? That's trash. They just ground up a bunch of trash, you know, glass, cardboard, metal, all that bullshit, and then they just cook it up and turn it into an easily filterable, basically, substrate. That's all it is. They're not recycling a damn thing. You know what I mean? You think they're going to bother taking apart a PlayStation controller, picking out all the copper and shit out of it to make, you know, melt it down to make up? No. They run it through a giant utilidor, grind it all up into little tiny pebbles, and they go, yeah, scatter this on the side of the road so the weeds don't grow up. It's not getting recycled at all. So don't try to make me feel bad about the fact that I throw in some stuff. The only reason we even bother keeping the recycling thing up is just so we can kind of justify the amount of taxes they're going to take out of our property taxes anyway, or they're going to tack onto them. honestly, if I were able to convince everybody in this neighborhood to stop using the recycling, it would only be a matter of time before they would have to say, we're just not coming anymore. Because it's not worth driving through your neighborhood to pick up each individual person's recycling when we're not making enough money on the fact that we're not actually sending it to anybody to get recycled into anything. So it'll only be a matter of time before that becomes a non-starter for them. They're like, we're just not going to go. I'm like, all right, fine, don't. We weren't doing shit with it anyway. And the more I started thinking about that, I started thinking about all these other different concepts. Like, I was thinking about like how we as a society end up becoming, wasteful, and often, we'll project a portion of our own bullshit onto other people, right? Or we'll take up for people for no reason. Like, why are you white knighting for them? You know what I mean? Like, what's the phrase of the guy used? Why are you carrying water for someone else? They're not going to do shit for you. It doesn't matter what you think or say to them. They don't care. Right? And I had this thought, and when I was thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, why am I on the hook for what Microsoft as a corporation has done? I'm like, what are some other instances where I've seen people like really give a shit until they just didn't? And I thought about this the other day, and I was scrolling through like social media, and I saw a post from Britney Spears, who I had really not paid much attention to since her whole conservatorship thing, where they're like, free Britney. I'm like, oh, word? Look, I got no problem with Britney Spears. You know what I mean? I listened to her music. I thought she was a cute pop singer chick back in the day, and whatever. Britney Spears has not actually positively or negatively impacted my life in any significant way that I can point to or put a finger on. But I did find it very interesting that like people were so up in arms about her getting out of that conservatorship, and then what? I was thinking about that. I'm like, we all were like, free Britney, but where the fuck is she at? She's just out there loose? You know what I mean? Like, not for nothing, but the last time I remember seeing Britney Spears, she was dancing in her lingerie or something in front of a camera in her gym or something or whatever. And then before that, I remember the thing where she tried, like, she almost burned down her house because she left some candles running while she was doing whatever. And then before then, after the whole conservatorship went away, the last time I remember hearing about Britney Spears was her running around in her underwear dancing with knives. And I was like, these are not the actions of a person who is mentally all put together. And it's unfortunate because a lot of this shit isn't really her fault. You know what I mean? With like the pressures of having to perform and then the growing celebrity that comes along with that, you know, having to produce and having to look and act and think and dress a certain way, you know, it's got to be incredibly mind-wrenchingly awful. So the fact that she went a little bananas is not surprising to me. But I think it's really surprising that people were so adamant that she get out of that conservatorship that was kind of like managing some of whatever mania she had going on. And then they were like, all right, fine, bitch, get out. And they just kicked her out. Like, I feel like that was really honestly kind of short-sighted on everybody who's like, free Britney, and then nobody offered to help her afterwards. You know what I mean? We just left her out in the woods. Everybody was so excited for her to get free, and then, you know, it was cold, actually. Kind of cold and disrespectful. They were just like, yeah, you're free. Figure it out, bitch. And just left Britney alone. Like, they're like crying about leave Britney alone. Like, not like that. Like, leave Britney alone isn't stop telling her, like, you know what I mean? Like, stop stealing her money and fucking her over for her cash and her fame. It doesn't mean leave Britney on a fucking deserted island with nobody to watch her. That chick need help. Nobody just starts shaving their head in the middle of the day just for no good damn reason without something going wrong. Something was up with Britney for a long time, and people who were close to her were, they were trying to keep her sober and in her right mind for all the wrong reasons. They should have been doing it because they cared about her as a human being, because they loved her as a daughter or a sister or whatever. But what instead they were doing is like, hey man, if this cash cow dies, I got to go find another cash cow. I got this one right here, so might as well feed the motherfucker every now and again. You know, rinse it off with the hose so it looks nice. They didn't give a fuck about Britney like that. They just used her. And then when they got everything they could out of her and everybody started screaming at them, they're like, fine, fuck it. You figure it out. You guys wanted her so bad, you help her. And they're like, oh, no, I didn't want to do that. Oh, no. Nobody wanted to do any work. That's what it was. It's like, maybe we were using this girl, but we were at least, like, keeping her shit in line. You know what I mean? She wasn't trying to, like, you know, slit her wrists or jump off a bridge or no shit like that. She was alive. And even though she was kind of weird and doing crazy shit, she was still, like, alive and mostly healthy. And I felt like, you know, that kind of shit, like, people cared so much right up until it became a thing that they had to do. And then they're like, I don't care. It's like the opposite almost of the thing with the carbon footprint. It's like, I cared all this time. And then now, though, you've been putting it on me. Me, the guy who's been recycling, who tries to use, you know, biodegradable products when he can, tries to avoid food waste and light pollution and, you know, leaving just shit on and running for no reason for years. I even went so far for a long time as to, if I wasn't using a certain appliance, like not something that needed to keep on, like a refrigerator that needs to stay running to keep cold. But I was, there was a time when, like, if I had all my Xbox consoles and stuff like that on and everything on one breaker, I just pull the breaker or I pull the plug on it. Because all those things are still pulling power, even if they're running to a power strip, right? They're all pulling some sort of power to keep them in like a sleep mode. You know what I mean? Like you think about like when you plug in a power strip, there's a light on it, right? That's obviously pulling juice going somewhere. The kilowatts per hour might be minuscule, but if there's zero, there's no way to get lower than zero. So I would just pull the plug. So how is it my fault now that the carbon footprint? I haven't owned a car in decades. So it ain't me, kid. Like, you figure that shit out. But, you know, the more I looked at the whole Britney thing, you know, I was like, man, this is crazy. Everybody cared about Britney until they didn't. And now that she's free, don't nobody really give a damn about what she's doing. Everybody's going to just be like, that's so sad. And then I started noticing people going like, hey, you know, if you feel some kind of way about Britney, you can bring it to me. And I said this in a couple different places around social media. And I was just like, why? What are you going to do about it? You didn't do shit for Britney. What makes you think you're going to do something to me because I've had some? And I didn't even say anything. All I did was ask, like, where is she? And people got some kind of way about it. Not everybody, need to grab some water real quick. Not everybody, but some people were like, hey, you know, what's this all about here? And I've seen it over the years too, especially in the last couple of years, since Britney's been kind of like spiraling a little bit. And yeah, people get really hot about some shit that doesn't have anything to do with them. I don't see none of them baking Britney a cake, offering, you know, to take her somewhere to get her hair and nails did. I don't see them coming over to, you know, watch her kids or nothing like that. Nobody's helping, like, cut the grass. You know what I mean? Like, none of these people are doing any of that shit for Britney. So how much do you care, really? Or you just want to look like you care, saying the right thing? People get super emotional about anything. And it's like, it's really weird because you can say something just very innocent to somebody. And suddenly they get in the defensive. They get in their feelings about something. And I'm like, why is that? Why is your personal bullshit my particular problem right now? Whatever you got going on that makes you react in this way, you need to check that shit and figure that out right now. Because I'm not on that right now. For as much as I speak and as many words per minute as I can put out, I'm very succinct about what it is that I want when I want something. If I'm trying to elicit a certain response, I can be very pointed about it, particularly if I care what you think and if I care about you. If I care about you and what you think, I'm not going to puff up a bunch of flowery words on you. I'm just going to tell you straight out, hey, man, that's annoying. Knock that shit off. Or, hey, man, that's not good for you. You should probably do something else. Or, hey, man, I really appreciate when you do that. That makes me feel good. And I like the way it makes you look as a person. Keep that shit up. I don't have to beat around the bush or, you know, hint at shit. I don't do that. If I have something to say to you, I'm going to fucking say it. Here's the other thing. I was like that for a very, very long time. And then I started to pull back from it. And I think that it was when I got into like my, you know, late 30s, early 40s, I started leaning into it a little bit more. Because I'm like, yeah, you know what? When I was in my early 20s, That would just be, I would just say that shit. Like, if I felt that shit, I would just say it. And you would just have to deal with the fact that your feelings got hurt and fuck you and your feelings. Because I'm at least going to be honest with you. You can't say, like, he preserved my feelings, but he just never told me the truth. You won't have to hear that from me. You won't have to hear that about me. So, you know, I'm not here to preserve your feelings. I'm here to preserve your fucking life. I'm here to preserve your mental well-being. If I had to hurt your feelings for a few minutes to get you to get your head right, then guess what? That's what's going to have to happen. But it's not that I'm doing this shit to be mean. I'm doing it expressly because I do care. But it's weird that I can do, you can do or say, not just me. I've seen other people do this shit too. Somebody will do or say something adjacent to someone else and they take it as a personal insult or a challenge or, you know, like a critique or something like that. I'm like, ain't none of this that I said had to do anything with whatever fuck you got going on. Whatever you got cooking, you need to go ahead and put the lid on that and let it simmer for a while. Then go back and taste it again and see if it's really what you want. Because that ain't got nothing to do with me. Ain't got nothing to do with anything I said or done. So whatever you got to figure it out, and then come back. But don't bring that shit to me. Can't be so overly sensitive about shit like that and then expect people to take you seriously. Because then after a certain while, you know what I mean, it ends up becoming exhausting. You end up just tiring people the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like, God, I can't say shit around you. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm on eggshells all the time, or I always got to wonder if you're going to fly off the handle and yell, or I've got to wonder if, like, you know, and I, it's, you know, it's abusive to a degree because you feel like, you know, you're constantly in this state of awareness. Like, I have to be on alert because if I say or do something to so-and-so, they'll snap or they'll crumble or, you know, maybe they'll just flame on. Now, who knows? I might walk in one day and find them swinging from the fucking ceiling fan or some shit. Like, I can't have that. And no one wants that kind of life. You know what I mean? That's just, that's tiring. And it's terrifying too, because especially if you care about somebody and they're like that, you're like, yo, man, I love you enough that I just want to not be around you because it makes me want to, you know, makes me want to punch you in the face. It's like, I'd rather actually hurt you than you assume that I'm going to do it at every given moment. So nothing is safe around you. You know, I think the biggest reason that some people are like that is just that they, I mean, obviously there's, like, you know, whatever personal traumas or, you know, struggles and strifes that people have, you know, on the inside. That's definitely a lot of it. But one of the reasons I think it proliferates so much is that people don't take the time to actually sit and engage with one another and talk. You know what I mean? A large part of our communication is done through digital means, kind of like we're doing right here, right now. But, you know, we haven't figured out how to sit and discuss things with one another. So that we can learn how to use our words to describe our feelings. You know what I mean? And to to elocute the points that we're trying to make. We got real good at sending memes, you know, sending song snippets and, you know, videos and shit to each other. But actually having a conversation with one another is a lost art. It's one of the few things that I actually do miss about, like, being able to drink regular beer in regular bars. That I would sometimes go to a bar, grab a pitcher of beer and sit down, and I would sit and have a conversation with somebody. Somebody I'd never even met in a lot of times too, just sit and talk with them over a pitcher of beer. And it was a great time. You know what I mean? I got to learn about them. They got to learn about me. Maybe we learned a little bit about each other's worldviews or something, or even just how we interacted with one another. We were like, hey man, I don't like this person. I'd rather not see them again anymore. That could be a totally viable outcome, but you could figure it out over a pint. I actually miss that people used to, you know, use their social skills. They would be present. I've had a cell phone for decades now. But when I would go to the bar, that shit would just sit there. You know what I mean? It would be like I would be there to talk to and hang out with the people I'm there with. And a lot of times, if you're looking for me and we're going to a place like that, you might not find me because I, generally speaking, put it in my pocket or put it down somewhere. And I don't fuck with it because I'm not thinking about what isn't here. Trying to think of who it was that said it. And he was like, oh, he's like, I think he said something about his kids at like a holiday dinner. He's like, are you, or maybe it wasn't his kids. Maybe it was something else, but it was something along the lines of like, you know, you invite young people over. I think it usually ends up being the younger folks. But even people in my age bracket too, you know, in their 30s and 40s, you see them just buried in their phones. And I'm like, did so-and-so who didn't spend time to come over here and talk to you and sit in your presence have something very important to say? Because I've been sitting here for like the last 15, 20 minutes. You haven't bothered to blink in my direction once. It's frustrating as fuck, man. people can't take the time to just sit and be present and engage. You know what I mean? And there's times when you do have to keep an eye out for stuff. You know, you got a timer running, you're waiting on a call from somebody, you know, you're trying to get somebody directions. I get that. You know what I mean? But like, no, man, we're just sitting here. We're all chilling. Like, you don't need to be checking your phone every 35 seconds, man. Put the fucking thing down. You know what I mean? The dopamine drip can't be that much better than what you're going to get right now from all the people who are sitting in front of you. I promise you, the people who drove to come and see you want more of your time than the person who's on the other end of that fucking phone. And that drives me absolutely crazy that people can't be present. Like, I have to make a habit of doing it because I find myself trying to draw into it. And unless I'm trying to look up like an actor or a song that I hear like in a movie or something like that, or a TV show, try to make sure I put my phone down and away from me so I can't reach it. And I'm going to sit here and watch this thing and just get engrossed in what I'm doing and what I'm actively achieving. Like, it would drive me crazy to take somebody out to the movies and have them pull their fucking phone out. I want to throw them across the fucking theater. But yet and still, we'll do the exact same thing in your own home and people just like scrolling through their phone. I'm like, enjoy this. This is an amazing piece of work that somebody created. We could be watching this and enjoying this and engaging over this right now. Everything that's on your phone can absolutely wait. But in this moment where we're sitting, enjoy where we're at here. Now, be here. Be present. That shit drives me crazy. And I noticed that, like, when I start noticing myself do it, I start doing something else that requires me to put the damn thing down. As much as I enjoy technology and I enjoy engaging with online communities and social media and things like that, and I really genuinely do, I don't give a fuck about sitting on the thing all goddamn day long. And having it absorb so much of my time and energy that, like, I can't be a person around other people. I don't know how to speak to one another, to another person without getting my feelings hurt, or without taking an extreme offense to something for no fucking reason, or getting defensive over something that doesn't matter and isn't even remotely targeted at me. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. I say that stuff, and I'm about to say something that's kind of also a little antagonistic, but you're going to love this shit, I think. Because I saw, like I said, in the interest of people being like super sensitive about stuff that doesn't necessarily directly affect them, right? One of the things I've noticed is like a lot of people that I know, not a lot of, like, let's say, not a lot of good friends, but a lot of people that I know are either atheist or agnostic or have some kind of varying faith system from my own. And it's actually kind of impressive in one regard, how many of them consider themselves to be witches, which is borderline hilarious to me. And I'll tell you why. A lot of times these are the exact same people who with a straight face will look at me and go, yeah, I'm a witch. And I don't believe in this, that, or the other. I don't believe in the Bible. I'm like, great, don't. You don't have to. Like, it's a hokey, stupid book and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, sure, whatever, dude. That's fine. You know what I mean? I also think that, like, your little spell book that you have, I've never seen you turn anybody into a frog. I've never seen you create like a tornado. I've never even seen you resurrect a dead ant, let alone animate an actual animal skeleton. So what the fuck are we talking about with this witch shit? And that's not to make fun of their, you know, beliefs or anything like that. But it's like, all right, you have to look at this from a pretty logical standpoint here, right? If you believe that, you know, whatever you got going right here with spirits and, you know, ghosts and ghouls or energies or whatever it is, you know, you believe in, like, maybe say you believe in astrology, for example, and that, like, the alignment of the planets and the stars determine how your personality is shaped and who you are as an individual. And you think that that's, like, the way that, you know, all of us are influenced and created. How much weirder is it to think that a guy who walked on water was raised from the dead and then ascended into the heavens and would come back? All of it sounds like it could be a little spurious. Just being objective here. It's not shitting on anybody. I'm certainly not shitting on my own personal faith. But it just all sounds like maybe there's a little bit of whatever that's magic or spirituality or faith or whatever you want to call it. And as long as my shit isn't hurting you or somebody else, and it's definitely not hurting me, who gives a shit? But I've noticed that, you know, I mean, there's some of these folks, like these hardline, whatever kind of person you are on that spectrum, whether you're super into astrology and energies and stuff like that, you're super into Wicca and all that jazz, super into this religion or that religion or that religion. A lot of people are real quick to tell you what your shit is wrong. A lot of people are real quick to tell you that their shit is the only right shit. And I think that's all just bullshit. I don't think anybody has a 100% die hard claim that they know all of it. Everything that they think and believe is 100% true, and it's the only true thing. And if you can say that with 100% certainty, you are a slightly insane person. I think there should be a healthy degree of doubt in all of those interactions because we don't know and we couldn't possibly. But if we're able to figure it out and navigate through it, you know what I mean? Make it make sense for you, and then who gives a shit what anybody else thinks? And also, furthermore, why would you give a shit if anybody else loves your special thing? Isn't it supposed to be for you? Isn't it supposed to be a source of personal fulfillment? Why are you so focused on attacking other people? I actually stopped talking to someone a long time ago who, when I told her that, you know, I was not only raised in the church, that I do believe in God, and I have my own personal ideas on what my faith looks like, but by and large, I guess you could say that I was raised in the Christian faith. I don't actively call myself a Christian because I don't want somebody to see my example and think that, like, I'm a, you know, oh, that's what a Christian's like. Because I make mistakes a lot. But I do kind of ascribe to that. And she was like, oh, I thought you were too smart to be a Christian. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And she's like, only an idiot would believe in a book like that and think that those kinds of tenets and faiths were, you know, were logical and were worth having or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you don't believe in anything. And let's just put it this way. If you're right and I'm wrong, neither of us is going to know. But if I'm right and you're wrong, oh, we're definitely going to find out. One way or another, we're definitely going to find out. You know what I mean? So, like, to me, this whole agnosticism/atheism is the intellectual's path forward into the universe seems like a really stupid-ass argument to me. Because there are way too many other faiths and religions out there for all of them of everything to be completely wrong. There's too much of an overlap in a lot of these faith systems for it to all just be a bunch of bullshit stories. There has to be a unifying truth throughout all of it somewhere, right? So I would think that if you're atheist or agnostic, you might want to get behind at least something. I mean, if nothing else, like, hedge your bets, man. Don't just get caught ass out. If this all turns out, like, even if it's like, oh, I picked the wrong one. Like, most of these faith systems are like, hey, man, were you a good person? You know what I mean? Did you eat other people while, you know, did you kill babies? Were you, a rapist or a thief? No. All right. Well, we can cut you some slack here, right? So it's really wild to think, like, now there's just nothing. There was nothing before, so there's definitely nothing after. How the fuck would you know? You know what I mean? Like, that's such an arrogant way to look at the world. Such an arrogant way to look at all the mysteries of the universe that we still have yet to understand and to confidently and fully say, there's nothing out there. Word? Nothing. Nothing? All of this just sprang forth out of complete chaos for no fucking reason. And it all exists for no fucking reason. That might be the most arrogant and at the same time ignorant thing I've ever heard smart people say. There's got to be something more out there because otherwise, what would there be a purpose for it? You know what I mean? Everything serves a purpose. Everything has a reason for existing. Even down to the smallest most minuscule particles of existence on this planet. Everything has a purpose and a reason for existing. Otherwise, what would the point be? I mean, do you think that this is just some kind of like cosmic terrarium? If that's the case, then for what? The universe itself wouldn't necessarily have to be a thinking organism, right? It wouldn't have to have any kind of logic or rhyme or reason to be as erratic as it was. So why would any of this be configured in such a way that it would exist at this point in time? And why are we also finding that there are so many other configurations that are in lots of ways very similar to our own, which would suggest at the very least that maybe we're one of a series of millions and millions and millions and millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and whatever of petri dishes that something, some entity may have been testing out a bunch of samples. You ever been to a science lab? They got a bunch of test tubes, a bunch of shit growing in them. Some of the stuff is like labeled with different stickers and whatnot. Like, hey man, don't eat this. Hey man, don't breathe this. Hey man, don't even touch this. And this one's like, hey, if you think about this, we all gonna die. So there's, what is it to say that all these different galaxies and solar systems that we see scattered throughout the universe might not be some kind of divine beings, little petri dish tests. And like, hey man, we just happened to make, they managed to get the batch right over here. And who's to say that maybe one of those batches out there isn't like full of xenomorphs? You know what I mean? Or one of them isn't full of a bunch of creatures that look exactly like E.T. Or maybe there's a whole other being, a whole other planet full of beings that look and everything just like us, except their entire planet's water. Or they're able to breathe powdered silicone or something. Who the fuck knows? I think it's the height of arrogance to assume that you know there's nothing out there. That sounds more arrogant than me saying, I know that this is the one true God. How do you know? I just know. I mean, hey, at least you're admitting that there's something bigger than yourself out there. For you to just say there's nothing? Wow. How full of yourself do you have to be to think you're such it the shit that nothing else could possibly exist without you? That is arrogance at its height. But hey, that's just what I think. These are my ideas. These are my thoughts. You guys came here. Yeah, I told you you were going to get a soup. Just a miasma of thoughts just pouring out of my skull into this microphone. And if you like what you hear, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me know. If you didn't like what you hear, hey man, better luck next time. But I appreciate you taking the time to listen. Feel free to let me know. Stop on over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and send me an email message. It's actually free to follow, so please feel free to do so. And it's only $3 a month to support the podcast. And I'd like to get some questions in there. Keep asking every month, every week. Throw me some questions. Something so I can create you guys a podcast episode that I don't have to cook up and lie about. I'd love to do that. So go. Also, stop on over to twitch.tv/linkib and visit me on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays for some video game fun. Usually start between 3 and 4 p.m.-ish Eastern Standard Time, and run till whenever I get tired, bored, or figure out something else to do. So please feel free to stop on over and join me there. And stick around. The next podcast will hopefully be on time. You know, whether, no matter what you believe in, pray, sacrifice a goat. I don't know. Burn some sage. Something. You know what I mean? Send some good juju energy this way so I can get my energy back up, get my health back up, and start to recuperate. And hopefully that will happen sooner than later so I can feel a little bit more at one with the universe and with myself. And by next week, hopefully I'll have some movie reviews for you. Oh, and by next week, hopefully I'll be able to give you at least more of a review of, or an actual review of season one of Preacher, which I've started rewatching now that it's on Netflix, and I've been enjoying it a lot. Yeah, Preacher, based off of the comic book by the same name. And I will give some more information on that next week when I have a chance. In the meantime, be good at it, drink your water, wear sunscreen, and let's pray for some cooler temperatures here so that cooler heads can indeed prevail. And yeah, don't forget to register to vote. November 5th is coming sooner than we think. All right, guys, I'm Link Flores. You guys have been amazing. I'll catch you a little further on down the road. Peace.